From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. He'll begin the second of two messages on the Apostle Peter. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. Prayer is the forerunner of mercy. Turn to sacred history, and you will find that scarcely ever did a great mercy come to this world unheralded by supplication. You have found this true in your own personal experience. God has given you many an unsolicited favor, but still great prayer has always been the prelude of great mercy with you. When you first found peace through the blood of the cross, you had been praying much and earnestly interceding with God that he would remove your doubts and deliver you from your distresses. Your assurance was the result of prayer. When at any time you have had high hopes and rapturous joys, you have been obliged to look upon them as answers to your prayers. When you have had great deliverances out of sore troubles and mighty helps in great dangers, you have been able to say, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Prayer is always the preface to blessing. It goes before the blessing as the blessing's shadow. When the sunlight of God's mercies rises upon our necessities, it casts the shadow of prayer far down upon the plain. Or, to use another illustration, when God piles up a hill of mercies, he himself shines behind them, and he casts on our spirits the shadow of prayer, so that we may rest certain, if we are much in prayer, our pleadings are the shadows of mercy. Prayer is thus connected with the blessing to show us the value of it. If we had the blessings without asking for them, we should think them common things. But prayer makes our mercies more precious than diamonds. The things we ask for are precious, but we do not realize their preciousness until we have sought for them earnestly. Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above.
Failures in my youth. strength have weakened all my pride, and ruined hopes in fallen dreams have crumbled me inside. It's then by grace I finally see the strength of Jesus Christ. His victory is real in me when weakness fills my life. In my weakness, He is strong. In my need, He leads me on. When I come to the end of all I am, and I place my trust in Him, that's when His strength begins. In my weakness, He is strong. In my need, He leads me on. When I come to the end of all I am, and I place my trust in Him, that's when His strength begins.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, He instituted an ordinance by which His people were to remember Him until His second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of Him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies on the lives of the apostles. In the course of the messages, he's presenting a biographical sketch of each apostle, examining each man's background, his character, and the particular way in which the Lord used him to fill the role God had for him. Dr. Cairns began these portraits of the apostles with the man who was regarded as their chief spokesman, Simon Peter. Because of Peter's prominence in the early church, Dr. Cairns is devoting two messages to him. In the first message, he focused on Peter's character, and we saw what made this apostle the powerful servant of Christ that he ultimately became. Now we look at Christ's calling of Peter and how the Lord restored him to usefulness after a number of his failures, particularly his denial. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message entitled, Peter, Commissioned and Recommissioned by Christ.
We turn this evening to the Gospel of Matthew for a few verses in chapter 4, and then to the Gospel of John for a few verses in chapter 21. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to verse 20, John 21, verse 15 to 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Then John's Gospel, chapter 21, and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdedst thyself and walkedst whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Last week I preached on Peter, and I want to return to Peter. If the Lord wills, we may or we may not go through all of the 12 apostles. Time will tell. But you'll readily understand that a preacher could preach most of his life on Peter because there is so much about him. These are not meant to be exhaustive or exhausting studies. We are simply looking at what we would call the big picture of Peter, who is named first among the apostles. Last week we thought generally of his character. We return then to the Word of God, and we're going to think of Peter. There are two texts that we read that sum up all that I have to say about him, really, at least in outline form. Matthew 4:19, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then the words of the Lord Jesus in John 21 and verse 15, where he said to Peter, Feed my lambs. Then 16, Feed my sheep. And again in verse 17, Feed my sheep. Last Lord's Day evening, I tried to show that Peter was a lot more than many preachers seem willing to admit. I do not believe that there's a lot of truth in the Peter bashing that normally goes on when preachers talk very long about Peter. He's better than they admit. Tonight, however, I will have to try and show that he was a lot less than others claim. For example, the Church of Rome claims Peter as her first pope, the first bishop of Rome, the prince of the apostles, the first in a long line of infallible vicars of Christ with power over the universal church. To this day, indeed, every Roman Catholic pontiff carries the official title of Peter, so that John Paul II, in his encyclical correspondence, will often refer to himself as Peter, and his throne as the chair of Peter, and his office as the office of Peter. Now, of course, all this is very wide of the mark of Scripture, and it does despite both to Peter and to the one whom Peter loved and served with such conspicuous distinction. Tonight, as we strip away the mythology and look at the reality, we will find not a pope, but a humble, faithful apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will find a man who was flawed, but nonetheless was faithful. When we look closely at Peter, we will discover one who was without one single vestige of the pretensions of that long line of Roman popes who claimed to exercise the power which Christ, they say, gave to Peter as he gave him primacy over all the apostles and over all the church. Peter's career is the very opposite to what is claimed for him by the Church of Rome. You'll find that he never claimed to be a priest. He never exercised authority over the apostles. He had undoubtedly qualities of great leadership, and to him God gave the inestimable privilege of opening up the doors of the kingdom first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. He was a leader among men, a great evangelist, a glorious missionary, a wonderful soul winner, a theologian, a preacher, an apostle, a man of God. But it's very interesting that never once did he say, in the words of the Roman Catholic so-called successors, "I forgive you." Never once did he sit in presidency over the apostles. In fact, in one of the only, just about the only place where we find the apostles and the elders meeting together in such a way, it seems to have been James, who was not even an apostle. It was James who took the chair and not Peter. So his whole career is very different from what the Church of Rome would claim. He's less than they say he was. Actually, I suppose in a way that says he's more than they say he was. He's not the plastic pope of their creation. He is the living flesh and blood reality that is pictured in the Word of God. Now, the whole career of Peter really centers around his two commissions by Christ. Right away at the very beginning, we have read in Matthew 4, the Lord Jesus commissioned Peter when he said, "Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." Then in John 21, just before his ascension, after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus investigated Peter publicly. And he did this for a very good reason. It was sore on Peter. We read he was grieved that in front of all the disciples, the Lord Jesus, the three times, probed him, "Lovest thou me?" But these disciples knew what had happened to Peter, how deeply he had stained his reputation, how it seemed that he had smashed all hope of people ever having confidence in him. And so the Lord Jesus, though it hurt Peter, publicly probed him, "Lovest thou me?" And as he received the answer, three times he recommissioned Peter. He reinvested Peter into the office of an apostle and a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, between these two great commissions, there is a wonderful story. There's the story of great faithfulness. There's the story of a great fall. And there's the story of Christ's great forgiveness. So tonight I want us to think of Peter commissioned and recommissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remark first that there are two very different sides to Peter. This is emphasized in John chapter 1 at his very first meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 1 and verse 42, you have a man by the name of Simon, son of Jonas. And he comes at his brother's behest to meet Jesus of Nazareth. And this is what happens. Verse 42 of John chapter 1. Andrew brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. "Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Cephas is an Aramaic word, and the Apostle John here gives us what Christ meant by it in the Greek equivalent. He calls him a stone. Now put those two names together. Simon is a name of Hebrew extraction, and it really means hearing. Here was a man, and he had literally, honestly come to hear what the Lord Jesus had to say. And what he heard was a life-changing word, because Cephas, meaning a stone, speaks of his permanence and his stability. But this permanence and this stability did not depend upon his own character. It was not rooted in his own internal greatness or goodness. No, it depended upon him continuing to be a hearer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why in almost every case where the Lord Jesus speaks to Peter, he does not call him Peter, but he constantly calls him Simon. It is only in union with Christ that Peter can ever have the stability and the permanence that is conveyed by the name Cephas. So here we have two names, Simon and Peter, or Simon and Cephas. They remind us of the natural man, the old man, and they remind us of the new man. The natural man is weak and vacillating. The new man, in union with Christ, hanging upon every word of the Savior, is strong and constant. And that dichotomy is seen in all Peter's recorded service. You would think indeed that the Holy Ghost had put this in deliberately, in the foreknowledge that the Church of Rome would build Peter up to be what they say he is. Now, Peter did wonderful things. You find, as I pointed out last week, Peter's always in the vanguard, where there's an act of bravery, where there's a recognition of the peculiar glory of Christ, where there is some word to confess the Savior, or some step to be taken to make him known. You find Peter is always at the front. But here's another thing you find. Read your Bible carefully. Every great act of faith and devotion by Peter was followed by some gross deficiency in his spiritual discernment, or in that consistency for which I praised him last Sunday evening. You think that Peter was one of the three that the Lord Jesus took up with him into the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was the one who spoke and said, "It is good for us to be here." So far, so good. That's the natural, and you would say the laudable expression of a heart that has been touched by the wonderful sight of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But immediately he oversteps the mark. And he says, "Let us build here three tabernacles." In other words, he has seen the glory of Christ, and he still missed the point. "Let us build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you." Took the voice of God from heaven, but then set aside Moses and Elijah and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.